Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, so great to be here. We are set up. This is the 106th annual Montana Farm Bureau Convention and Trade Show. And we've got now sitting with us here, Casey Mott is the vice president for the Montana Farm Bureau. Casey, great to see you as always. And thanks for allowing us to do our show from here. And I've been enjoying the breakfast and everything. But it's so good to see our friends from all across the state here. It's good to see you.
Oh, well, thank you, Aaron. I'm really glad to be here.
I've seen some great photos of you in Range Magazine as well too. So just some real that's one of my favorite things about Range Magazine is kind of just the different photos of ranches and ranchers all across the West. I mean, we forget that, you know, how big ag still is even in a crazy state like California.
Well, Range CJ does an excellent job with that magazine, and I'm not biased because my wife writes for them. But, yeah, I can see what other people are doing throughout mostly the Great Basin, but it's the entire West and ranching culture there, not just cattle, sheep, all agriculture. And they're really focused on a lot of the problems that we face as ranchers, particularly from the, you know, the regulatory state, from environmentalist and activist, they're really fighting against that.
Well, what's the big chatter? What's the big water cooler conversations here at the Farm Bureau Convention this year?
Well, we have a number of resolutions that are coming up, some that are going to be very interesting. Exempt wells is certainly, that's a big one that we're all kind of anxious to see how this is going to turn out and what our delegates think of, because we have members that are on both sides of this issue, and so it'll be an interesting debate.
This kind of deals with water issues, where, you know, you've got now, you know, look, the need for more housing, and it's so hard to build in the cities, so people are having to build subdivisions further out of town, and then that's going into some of the ag territory.
Oh, yes.
And then there's concerns about, well, hey, are we going to lose water because of these new subdivisions coming in? To me, the bigger picture question is how can we get more water storage here in Montana? You know, we ship all that water downstream every single year. How can we focus more on water storage so that we can keep more of that water here in Montana for all of these uses? Ag,
well, that's an excellent that's an excellent question. You know, the exempt well issue is all about who senior water rights and more of these developments that are particularly in these areas, the valleys that are expanding rapidly.
Gallatin, Flathead, where they're seeing so much growth.
Certainly, but like where I ranch, Eastern Montana, it's not an issue, not now, and maybe not for many years. But it'd be nice to kind of get something,
get a policy put in place
where we're not having to worry about that. But getting back to your storage, boy, that's
hold that thought for just a second. We got to get to our quick news break here, but we'll talk more with Casey Mott, vice president for Montana Farm Bureau. We'll start there right after this.
Okay.
Securing America.
The United States, Canada, and Finland announced the expansion of its icebreaker collaboration effort, or Ice Pact, at a Tuesday news conference, and the building of 11 new icebreaker ships to help defend the Arctic. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said the goal is simple.
To protect the Arctic against our enemies.
The secretary added,
the Arctic is the world's last most wild frontier, and our adversaries are racing to claim its strategic position and its rich natural resources for their own.
Canada's ambassador to the U.S., Kirsten Hillman, acknowledged the modern world is a dangerous place.
The ability of our armed forces to protect our sovereignty and respond to threats in the Arctic is essential.
Noem said without efforts like this,
we will condemn future generations to permanent insecurity, and we're not going to let that happen on our watch.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Fox Country. I'm Michelle Polino. Country Thunder Arizona just dropped its 2026 lineup, and the 30th anniversary is stacked Lainey Wilson, Zach Topp, Brooks and Dunn, and Gavin Adcock will headline the four-day festival running April 9th through the 12th at Canyon Moon Ranch in Florence. The weekend bill also includes Waylon Wyatt, Jackson Dean, Dasha, Lone Star, Scotty McCreery, and more. Tickets are on sale now at countrythunder.com. Todd Snyder, a singer, songwriter, and raconteur who helped shape the alt-country and Americana music movements, died Friday. He was 59. The cause of death was pneumonia. Born in Portland, Oregon, and relocating to Northern California after high school, he rambled his way to Texas in the 80s and eventually migrated to Nashville, becoming a key figure in the rough-edged East Nashville scene. His 2004 album, East Nashville Skyline, is considered essential to the alt-country catalog. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Thank you for joining in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Jumping right back into it here with Casey Mott, who is the vice president of the Montana Farm Bureau. So, yeah, you, of course, your ranch near Custer and then north of Miles City as well. I guess before we get back into this exempt well debate that you're going to have here at Farm Bureau here later today, just talk about how life in agriculture has been over the past 6 months, over the past year in general. And then later we'll talk about your trip to D.C. here recently as well.
Okay. Well, yeah, talking about how life has been on the ranch for the past year. You know, early on, January to May, we had a half inch of rain at the place in Miles City. But from May until now, I think we made our yearly total and then some. If you know, if you'd told me back in May that we were going to have the year that we did, I would not have believed you. We had, in fact, my brother and I, when we shipped calves on the 31st October, you know, we had some. They were nice looking calves, and we sorted the probably one of the biggest ones off, and it's weighed 760 pounds. In May, we didn't think we were going to break 500. We had that good a year. But, you know, as vice president of Farm Bureau, one of the reasons I really enjoy this organization, it's a general ag organization. You know, it's not just cattle. You know, we have grain farmers. We have sugar beets. We have bees. We have just about anything somebody can grow in the state of Montana. We have members that that produce that. And so our concerns are about all commodities. And as good as we, the cattlemen have it, grain farmers are not having it that well. And because we're such a large state, we have, we did really well this summer with rain. But there's a number of parts of this state, like up here where we are in Missoula. You know, they've had some good rain in the last few weeks, but from what I understand, they did not have a good summer, and they're still considered under drought, as is a large portion of the northern part.
Yeah, I think I saw Dennis Bragg just said 55% of normal, you know, snowpack at this time of year. But, you know, we could quickly build that back, too, if things change.
Yes.
So, yeah, that good tie-in, too, with this discussion over exempt wells and the water debate. Subdividers versus agriculture is one way you could put it, I guess.
That
but
is
like
a good
I say,
way
you've got
it.
Folks on both sides of the fence in here. How do you see that debate taking place later this morning?
It's hard to say. You know, it's like because we have a lot of differences of opinion and a lot of different commodities, a lot of different producers, it's hard to say how this is going to go. And I would not want to try to predict. But that's the beauty of our organization. It's just we're grassroots. We have our resolutions that come from the county, and we'll discuss them here on the delegate floor, and we'll vote on them, and that will become our policy. And, yeah, I don't want to try to predict how it's going to go.
One of these days we should almost do a full show on just water and water storage because, yeah, maybe this is slightly controversial, but I've said this on the radio before. We don't have a shortage of water in Montana in some
we
of these
not.
Places. We just don't keep that water here in Montana. You know, Gallatin Valley, Flathead Valley, where growth is probably the strongest and this debate is the most heated. Gets a ton of water every year, right?
It's
just we just send it downstream. So how are we tackling more water storage, more reservoirs and things like that in places like the Gallatin Valley, or, you know, where they might be needed, where we hold on to that water. What? But these debates that you have at Farm Bureau and these types of trade associations are so important, because it's why it's so important that our listeners get involved in organizations like this, because when you debate these policies on a convention floor like this, and then these organizations show up in Helena, it's a powerful voice. And so what, any other big debates that are going on, or just what are some of the interesting things that you're hearing about while
here? We've got a number of issues. Another Eastern Montana issue is, you know, renewable energy. You know, we're with the wind farms, I proposed solar projects and data centers, you know, something that I, you know, had to really get up to speed on here in the last few months. We're going to have resolutions come up on all of that. And once again, we have members that are on both sides of this. And it really, what it comes down to is, does your ranch have, did you get a contract, a wind contract, or did you not?
I was going to say, because, yeah, on one side of the fence, you've got, you know, farmer ranchers who, if they've got a contract with the wind power company, that could save the family farmer ranch.
And has.
A lot of money. But on the other side of the fence, you've got a whole bunch of other people. They don't want to see that stuff. They don't want destroying the horizon and other potential impacts.
You know, our family operation there north of Miles City, we are just across the fence from a wind project. Now, you know, we didn't want wind on our ranch, but it's right across the fence. So, yeah, you could almost say that we have all the downsides. You know, they're right there, and they're, you know, they have the lights on all night, and kind of certainly spoil your view.
The beautiful stars. Red blinking lights.
But we're not getting a bit of money from any wind company. So it can be a problem, and so it's going to be an interesting debate, just like exempt wells, as our members would talk about this.
Yeah. Well, Casey Mott, we've got to take another quick break here. We got to get to our farm and ranch report. Our friend Lane Nordland, of course, has our 720 farm and ranch report that we'll get to here. But if you can stick with me, because I'm going to record a conversation here during the break with you, because I want to hear about the D.C. fly-in. You were there in Washington, D.C. earlier this summer, and Eric Moore, former state senator out of Miles City, was on that trip with Farm Bureau as well. So I want to get your take on the D.C. fly-in, and then maybe what's changed even since that fly-in back during the summer to Washington, D.C. So stand by. I'll chat with Casey during the break here and share it later this morning.
It's November 19th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Okay, Casey, they're going to need me back in the studio.
Chances are that you and your family played this iconic board game where the object is to become rich by buying up properties like Boardwalk and Park Place and avoiding jail where you can't collect any money. Since its invention in 1935, the game has been played by millions around the world and has hundreds of versions to fit almost any genre, from Star Wars to a millennial version which has players collect experiences rather than properties. Also on this date, in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln delivered one of the most famous speeches in American history, the Gettysburg Address. And in 1939, two superheroes made their debut in DC Comics, The Flash and Hawkman, both appearing in Flash Comics number 1. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the fourth Prime Minister of India, Indira Gandhi, born in 1917. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Fox on Games, your insider's cheat code to gaming.
The Game of the Year nominees have been announced for December's The Game Awards 2025.
Hello, everybody. It's Jeff Keighley, and the Game Awards season is officially here.
Clair Obscur Expedition 33, the out-of-nowhere turn-based role-playing game, making it to the list, along with 11 other noms in other categories. One of Nintendo's announced titles for the Switch 2, Donkey Kong Bonanza, also making it to the top honor list, along with indie darling sequels Hollow Knight Silksong, rounding out who I predicted to make the cut, and Hades 2. Wrapping up the list, Hideo Kojima's sequel to his epic Death Stranding, the second one subtitled On the Beach, continues the story of the courier, played by Norman Reedus, in a world taken over by the dead, while Roman Empire, open-world RPG, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, rounds it out.
Make sure to head to thegameawards.com to cast your ballot, and new this year, download your vote cards.
Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, USDA rolled out another round of support for farmers, releasing billions of dollars in disaster assistance to help producers recover from storms and other natural disasters that took place in the years of 2023 and 2024. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins says the president is committed to providing timely relief, calling the health of America's farm and ranch families a national security priority. Altogether, USDA's Farm Service Agency is delivering more than $16 billion in congressionally approved disaster aid, on top of earlier programs that provided over $9 billion to row crop producers and more than $700 million to livestock producers. The next phase of the Supplemental Disaster Relief Program, known as Stage 2, covers losses not included in earlier payments, including shallow losses and quality losses on crops, trees, bushes, and vines. Applications for the relief open up November 24th and will run through April 30th of 2026. USDA is also offering targeted support for dairy producers and farmers who lost stored grain during recent disasters. The milk loss program provides up to $1.65 million for dumped or displaced milk, while the on-farm stored commodity loss programs offers up to $5 million for damaged stored crops. More information can be found at fsa.usda.gov. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
Our friend Lane Nordlund for that report. By the way, at the top of the hour, I ran into our friend Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network. Russell is here providing convention coverage the entire time. So Russell may pop in and join us maybe later on in the 8 or the 9 o'clock hours of the show. Maybe I'll see if he can kick off the 8 o'clock hour of the program with me as I'm broadcasting live from the 106th Annual Montana Farm Bureau Convention and Trade Show. I am set up on the trade show floor right now. Great to have Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus out of Dillon, Montana, back on the program with us right now. Brian, you've been on a few trade show floors and a few conventions during your years. Great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to be visiting with you this morning. Yeah, you can learn a lot on a trade show floor.
You know, it's great to see people from all across the state, but I think a lot of our listeners, I wonder if folks understand how important getting involved in some of these organizations. You were a former president of the Montana Stock Growers Association. You know, when they cast their vote on some of these resolutions, and then when they show up in Helena and testify at the legislature, that's a powerful voice, and it's why it's so important, whether you're a farmer and rancher and get involved in ag organizations or, you know, whatever your professional association is. The left has really mastered this sort of stuff. They know how to get into some of these organizations and then take them over, like on the medical side of the house, for example. And I think our listeners, you know, it just doesn't hurt to remind folks, like, hey, if whatever, you know, industry you're a part of, get involved in your associations, because the other side will.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I always said when I was in stock growers and leading stock growers, you know, the world is run by those who show up. It's actually formed by those who speak up. And it's so important to people getting involved in these organizations, and not only getting involved and going to the meetings and listening, it's so important to share what your questions are. A lot of people have a hard time asking questions in those meetings, and it's so important. If you see something, if you have a question about something, that's the time to engage, because that's actually when the policy is made. Is you're in those different sections of each, whether it's stock growers or farm bureau, you're in those different meetings and they're talking about one specific issue, and that's where policy is developed right there. And if you have a question, speak up, ask the question. Don't just roll through the vote and go outside and ask your friend the question after the meeting, because it's over. Because they're going to lobby on what got decided in that meeting, and that's why these are so important.
Well, Brian Massard, there's been so much beef in the news since you and I last caught up. You know, you had the Argentina thing, and I think the president's trying to you know, fix that whole situation. But then on top of that, you know, the MAHA agenda, you know, and you've got some movement now finally taking place, something you've been calling for several years now. What's the latest you want to talk about, whether it's beef or the MAHA agenda, you name it?
There's a lot going on to talk about in 5 minutes. But, yeah, the MAHA, I guess the thing I'm tied to the most is getting the dietary guidelines changed. That has been the primary factor on driving small farms and ranches out of business, rural America drying up, and people getting unhealthy or getting, yeah, unhealthy. We've got to get saturated fat back on the menu, and the cap is coming off of that and the guidelines, which will take the limits off of meat, dairy, poultry, everything. And we don't even have to talk about the competition of pork or chicken anymore, because beef has already dominated that. People like eating beef. I think a real key thing that we've been working on is when that happens is, you know, there's a lot in the news. Beef is really high priced. It costs a lot of money, and the president's coming against that. And, you know, I can go back 50 years since I've been paying attention. And every time food prices go up, the target goes right on beef. Nobody talks about the fact that pepperoni is $11.50 a pound, potato chips are $7.50 a pound. So it's beef is relative to everything else. And I don't know why the media always goes after beef, because it's not any higher than anything else when you look at it relatively at any point in time.
Well, I think it's because we Americans, we love our beef. You know, beef, it's what's for breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, whatever the heck you want to call it. We will have beef with every meal. And so that's why people are so focused on the price of beef. Yeah, as the attention is, it was interesting. The other day I was at the Costco in Kalispell, and they didn't even have any of their fresh ground beef. You know, they had the packaged stuff, but they didn't have their fresh ground beef. But really, what a lot of folks don't realize is if you really want to save money on beef right now, the best thing you can do is go find a local rancher. Go find a Montana rancher and buy direct, order direct. In fact, that's what a lot of folks can do with you and through you at Reminis Angus Ranch in Dillon.
Yeah, you can go to remangus.com and buy from a 10-pound box all the way up to a whole beef and get it direct. We can ship it to your home. It's guaranteed. And that is a way, the major difference there is you know exactly where it comes from. You know what it is, where it came from, who put it in the box. And when you go to the grocery store, you don't know where it comes from. It's got the USDA inspection stamp on it, and that is very important. I don't care if it comes from Argentina, Mexico, Canada, or if it's raised in the USA, we need that USDA inspection stamp. But in the stores, unless it's a branded product like Reminis Angus Ranch and it's got our sticker on there, you don't have a clue where it comes from. It can be any one of 9 breeds. It can come from any one of 50 states. You don't know. It can be from any country. And that's so important that we're working for as an industry to get there and get it labeled. But you want to go direct to a source and know exactly where it comes from, get a hold of a rancher.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I've had the Reminis Angus. I've had your steaks. I've had your beef bacon. I've had it shipped to my house, cooked them up. It tastes great. It's incredible. Great Montana product. But then even if you're driving across the state like I am, you know, you can pop into some of the town pump locations. They got the Reminis Angus jerky there as well. So many different products. You know, last time you were with us, you mentioned that you were just launching a beef tallow product, and boy, I started getting a ton of messages from our listeners, especially the ladies that were very interested in the beef tallow that you were offering.
Yeah, we've come out with whipped beef tallow body balm. Men can use it, women can use it. It's mainly for drying skin. I mean, it helps drying skin. I put it on cuts and bug bites and anything. It's very, very useful. It just came out on Amazon yesterday. You can order it through Amazon. You can order it from remangus.com. Beef tallow is the closest thing to human skin in composition you can put on your body. It's amazing. And ours is about half price compared to everybody else. Most of them are $40 for a 2 ounce jar. Ours is $40 for a 4 ounce jar.
Wow. Yeah, you talk about dried skin in Montana. If you're new to Montana and you don't know how dry it gets, just wait till winter and you start, you know, your knuckles are bleeding and cracking because it's so dry because you're running your heater and then it's dry outside on top of it as well. All right, Brian Massard, Reminis Angus Ranch. What else is standing out to you? You know, the president, after prodding from Montana Senator Tim Sheehy, the president basically came out with a true social post calling out the meat packers and then a DOJ investigation launched there. If you want to weigh in on that, or what's it really going to take to rebuild these domestic cattle herds, which is what truly needs to happen?
Yeah, that's a big question. I hope that the investigation isn't more than just a head nod. Every administration says, yeah, we're going to investigate the packers, and that's why we have the 1921 Packers Stockyards Act. It has yet to ever yield anything. And these corporations are so big, and they're owned by multinational companies. Two of them are owned by foreign companies. But the other ones, all four of them, the packing business is just one little finger of their entire network. I mean, they're all... Blackstone or BlackRock is involved in all of them. And the money, the corruption in the big four packers isn't at the meat trading level. It's way above that. It's how it's all happens in the futures and regulations and not just the meat packing industry, not just the cattle industry. The regulations, you were just talking about Waters of the USA. And that's why I'm very skeptical that anything will come out of this investigation. When President Trump was in last time, we got nothing out of the Waters of the USA. And that means there's a lot of talk. We get a lot of talk down here at the ground level. I spoke with Callie Means in September in the White House about this. He said, let's just get regulations. That's all we need to do is deregulate, right? And I said, well, it hasn't worked in the past. We don't ever see the benefit of that.
Congress has to codify this stuff, right? Yeah, not only do we need to reverse this stuff, but then Congress needs to step in and codify this stuff so it doesn't just happen with the next administration that may or may not come in. All right, Brian Massard, we got to run to the break. Thank you so much. Great to catch up with you as always. Ranch out of Dillon. Always great to catch up with you, my friend. Again, go to remangus.com. Quick break here on Montana Talks, and then the Montana Farm Bureau has a couple of guests headed our way right after this.
Join us at
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Gene Curry now. He is on the Montana Board of Livestock, a rancher in Valier, Montana. Now, you don't have to raise hands if there's anybody listening who doesn't know where Valier, Montana is. What beautiful country, though. You know, you've got Lake Francis right there. And, you know, they got the construction done finally.
Yes, they did.
There was a couple of times I was driving between, you know, the Flathead and Great Falls, and I didn't go through Valier because the long wait for construction, but it's back up and running now.
And so. our West Ranch was right in the middle of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a long commute to get to town then.
I didn't. My son, I live in town. We have another farm east of Valier, and I kind of live in between. But there was sometimes 40-minute wait for... And during harvest, they were still working on it. And we talked to the flaggers and said, the trucks had to go to town. And I said, we can't wait that long. The guy can't have the combine sitting still. So they were cordial enough to let us. They said, you know, as long as you're careful.
Yeah. Well, you and I were catching up during the break. You and I were catching up, and we were talking about, hey, look, you had good moisture, you had high prices. This is for our rancher friends out there, and you had fatter calves. A nice combination all around for a lot of our rancher friends across Montana in your neck of the woods in Valier. In the Miles City, Custer area, that's what we heard from Casey Mott as well. But then you were telling me about you look at the price of everything. I mean, especially inflation over the last 4 years, the prices of everything skyrocketed. And so, yes, even when you're getting good prices on the beef side of the house, our farmer friends are struggling, of course. But still, that the value of that dollar that you're getting for those calves doesn't go as far as it used to, unfortunately.
No, absolutely not. You know, I think we, and I'll maybe repeat this, but I just look at the cost of an average pickup, 10 or 12 calves in 1975 or four would have bought an average pickup. Today, it would take 30 average calves, steer calves, to buy a new pickup. You know, so we're not, the beef is not overpriced. It's finally up there where it's a little bit back to where it should be. And the other, we don't need to reiterate all of the information I gave you before, but the time of average workers, time that it takes to pound a pound of beef is roughly equivalent.
Yeah, I was trying to go and look back. I know I did a story on our Montana Talks website. I was interviewing somebody from the Montana Grain Growers about a year or so ago, and he made a similar point, and he looked at, okay, how many bushels of wheat would it have taken to purchase a combine, say, in the 1970s, yeah, when his dad was buying combines, compared to how many bushels a week it would take today in order to purchase the same combine. And that's one of the struggles that are out there.
Phenomenal.
What's the good news that you're hearing water cooler conversations here at the Farm Bureau Convention? And what are some of the other things that are standing out to you, the big policy discussions or anything else?
Well, the policy, of course, water is always an issue that I don't think we'll ever settle all of the water issues in the state of Montana. You know, we were visiting about what effect water has on your life here in western United States. We had a speaker yesterday, was from Ohio, and I was visiting with her at one of her breakout sessions, and she talking about putting tile in the farm ground to drain the farm ground. So in Ohio, water, they have the opposite issue with water. Now, it's not that they don't have enough, it's that they have too much. So, you know, you just, they're struggling with water, but in a totally different light than we are. So it's, and that's probably the biggest thing that I'm hearing, other than the farmers are a little bit feeling the pinch, and ranchers are finally feeling a little, maybe have a little money in the bank at the end of the year. So
yeah. And there's always it's always like there's opportunity, but then there's also kind of the downside too. The opportunity with the higher prices is you get better prices, but then how do you rebuild the inventory at the same time?
Exactly.
Well, Gene Curry, great to see you as always. Thanks so much for joining us. Feel free, I'll be here till 10 a.m. Feel free to drop in and join us later in the morning if you want as well.
All right. You got way better looking people here to talk to than I do. So, thanks.
All right. Great to see you, Gene. Yeah, we've got Nicole Rolfe, who heads up government affairs for the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, and also Brian Glenn with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Ladies first, Nicole, great to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for being here at our convention with us.
Oh, it's great to be here. Always fun. And, just running into guys like Gene there. I saw Tom DePoot out of Seiko earlier this morning. No, it's a ton of fun. And Brian Glenn, great to see you all the way out, probably from Washington, D.C.
From Washington, D.C., It is an honor to be here. My first time in Montana.
First time. That's why you're smiling so big this morning. He's out of D.C. and he's in Montana.
Yeah, exactly.
Win-win all around.
It has been a great meeting so far, and I just love working with Nicole and the whole Montana Farm Bureau team, so thank you for having us on.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, before I take us in random directions, what do you want to tell folks across Montana first?
Well, like you said, it's great to be here at convention. I love gathering our members all together, getting to see good friends and wonderful people from all across the state, and then listen to what is important to them and talk to them about what's our next direction, what are we doing in the coming year. We've had a really busy year, and we've seen a lot of good stuff coming out, especially on the rules side, on the federal level, that we've been able to offer comments on, both covering the rescission of the conservation lands rule, the new WOTUS rule being out. What is this, like WOTUS 10.0 at this point?
We've been hearing about WOTUS, the waters of the U.S. now, for what, 10 years, 12 years? Because it started under the Obama regime.
Yes.
Trump 45 peeled it back. Biden or Obama 2.0 brought it back again. Now Trump 47 But you've got to go through a process to basically do away with it, right?
That's right. They are actually, it's a new rule again, replacing the Biden era rule. The Biden era rule did not fully address the things that the Supreme Court directed them to do in Sackett. And this rule, we believe, is really going to pull the regulation itself back into line with the Clean Water Act and actually provide farmers, ranchers, any other users of water and land with the clear rules that we need. We'll be digging into that. Of course, it came out on Monday and we were already in convention, but we've got a great team in D.C., Brian and his colleagues, all digging into that, and we'll be looking forward to offering comments to make the farmer voice heard. But really positive things we're seeing right now, and I mean, the biggest thing that folks will remember is the Supreme Court got rid of the significant nexus test, which was just an ambiguous, non-scientific term that the rule had included before. And so it's not in there. And, you know, so the light is at the end of the tunnel, we hope, and we want to get a good, solid rule over the finish line this time.
Yeah, Brian Glenn with American Farm Bureau. Our listeners are up to speed on WOTUS and the history there, where basically the far-left activists wanted to take, if you just had an intermittent stream that was barely on your land or a tiny puddle, they wanted to now regulate that under the federal government. But the opportunity now is, okay, how do we stop this back and forth of this administration puts it in, this administration takes it out? How do we get Congress to codify this stuff once and for all to just stop this nonsense from coming up ever again?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and I think Nicole covered it well. This new proposed rule that's come out for comment, which Nicole mentioned, my colleagues at the home base in D.C. are working through right now and seeing what the details are. But I think on first glance, I mean, we put out a statement earlier this week recognizing that this new rule that they've come forward with recognizes farmers and ranchers for the conservation efforts that they do, gives them flexibility to still be able to farm, while also recognizing the importance of conserving our water system. So I think it's again, on initial review and looking through this, it seems like it's a step in the right direction. And we'll have more to come and certainly a lot to comment on, I'm sure, as my colleagues work through that.
Yeah, and Brian, we've got about a minute before our break, and then we'll talk more after that if we can. What else are you tracking back in Washington, D.C.?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. What are we not tracking? Well, the government is back open. I think that was a 43-day shutdown, I think it was, a historic amount of time. We're glad to have folks back in their seats in Washington working for farmers and ranchers. Of course, the Trump administration did move to open back up FSA county offices, which was a welcome development, but they were working in a limited capacity. So now having the government back open, we can get those offices back up and running. We're tracking what was in that spending bill that reopened the government. It included a farm bill extension. So if you remember, it seems like it was a long time ago, but this was a big win for us when we got the One Big Beautiful Bill done and across the finish line July 4th.
Great point. Yep. You know, so many people are forgetting the accomplishments that have gotten across the finish line, especially in that One Big Beautiful Bill. Let's start there right after this, if we can.
Fox Sports Update.
Hey, listen up. Hey, before we do all the celebration stuff, I'm so proud of you guys, man.
Amen.
Tough couple weeks. We got the crowd. You guys made it the crowd, man.
Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer in the locker room with his players just 11 days after the death of Cowboys 24-year-old defensive lineman Marshawn Kneeland, who took his own life. The Cowboys scored a galvanizing 33-16 win over the Raiders in Las Vegas.
Here's Lamb, wide open, backs in for the touchdown. End zone, touchdown Cowboys. Ferguson, Prescott able to step into it. It's got Pickens, good move. Nice cutback and a touchdown. Prescott, wide open, touchdown grab. This time, Flanoy.
On ABC at ESPN, Dak Prescott threw four touchdown passes in the Cowboys' 33-16 win against the Raiders. Dallas improved its record to 4-5-1. Las Vegas is now 2-8. The Jets are benching quarterback Justin Fields in favor of Tyrod Taylor. The Falcons are turning to Kirk Cousins, with Michael Penix Jr. possibly done for the season with a knee injury. Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase is appealing a one-game suspension for spitting on Steelers defensive back Jalen Ramsey. NBA Monday, the Detroit Pistons won again, 10th in a row. Detroit improved its record to 12-2 for the 127-112 win over Indiana. The Pacers, who went 7 games in the finals last season with Oklahoma City, have the worst record of the NBA, 1-13. The reigning champion Thunder, 14-1 after a 126-109 win over the Pelicans. 6 straight wins for OKC. The Bulls snapped the Nuggets' 7-game win streak, 130-127. San Antonio Spurs star Victor Wembanyama is going to miss a few weeks because of a strained left calf muscle. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Tis the season to be spending lots of dough for holiday gifts, and there are ways to maximize your credit card rewards while spending away. Putting your holiday shopping on a rewards credit card lets you earn valuable rewards for your purchases. The best time to earn a credit card welcome offer is when you know you have upcoming expenses. If you apply and get approved, it will likely offer a sign-up bonus with a spending requirement. And check your credit card shopping offers. Many credit card companies like Chase, American Express, and Citi provide targeted card offers to their cardholders, which they can use to save money at various stores and retailers. Another way to get extra rewards is to use shopping portals and rewards credit cards while shopping simultaneously. An online shopping portal is a website, app, or browser extension that gets a commission when it sends shoppers to a retailer's website and they make a qualifying purchase. The shopping portal will share that commission with you as cash back or another type of reward. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Hey, Sean.
This is where Montana talks. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to steal that line from Nicole Rolfe here. I said, what is, you know, if you had to break down the importance of the Farm Bill, because, you know, our listeners that maybe aren't farmers and ranchers are always hearing about the Farm Bill, and she said it's the only safety net for our farmers. That's why the Farm Bill is so important. I thought that was such a great 10-second answer. Back to Brian Glenn with the American Farm Bureau. Brian, you know, we're approaching the end of the year, and I'm glad you mentioned the One Big Beautiful Bill. Yeah. You know, doing away with the death tax that was just hovering over our farmers and ranchers. I mean, there's been so many victories that have been piled up, not just, you know, thanks to President Trump and the Congress over the last, but thanks to organizations like both of yours, the Montana Farm Bureau and the American Farm Bureau. Talk about what was in that One Big Beautiful Bill. Yeah. And really the difference an administration makes this year compared to 1 year ago, for example.
Yes, no, that's I'm glad that we can discuss this and get in here. One Big Beautiful Bill included a lot of major priorities for the Farm Bureau family. I know I was certainly on the phone with Nicole probably every day talking about what efforts that we can do together to unify our voice and get that bill across the finish line. It included a significant investment in the farm safety net. So those were much needed updates made to Title I programs like the Agriculture Risk Coverage Program, the Price Loss Coverage Program. Also included a significant investment in crop insurance, expanding premium access to farmers and ranchers. So a lot of farm programs, they were able to address and update in this package. And that is really a huge thanks to our congressional leadership and the administration for recognizing that those programs hadn't been updated since the 2018 Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has been years now. So they recognize the need to deliver support, more certainty for our farmers and ranchers right now, and they were able to take advantage of the opportunity. I don't know, Nicole, if you had any additional points to make about One Big Beautiful Bill.
I think the other thing we were excited about were all the permanency of the tax provisions that we were really worried about losing as they expired at the end of this year. So things like the estate tax exemption level, $199 expensing for family companies, deductions, all kinds of really important things that are important to all small businesses, but especially farms and ranches.
Well, talk about the perfect storm that would have been created if you have, you know, farmers with low prices, high input costs. Those input costs are finally starting to go down a little bit. And then And then you have the death tax come in, and you could just wipe out so many family farms across America, which is why I'm glad to hear from Brian that there is more talk about a short-term relief package for farmers that are struggling right now, because in the midst of these trade wars, food security is national security. We can't allow any of these farms to go under. Nicole Rolf, what else would you want to highlight as we get short on time here? We've got about a minute and a half to go. So many wins over the past few months that your organization has fought for. The conservation rule. Yeah. The Biden administration wanted to change our multiple-use federal lands to allow for non-use. Basically, they were going to strip away all sorts of access on our so-called public lands. And you guys helped fight that.
We did. We were very concerned that they were essentially elevating a non-use, or conservation, as they like to call it, as one of our multiple uses. I mean, our federal lands are important to farmers and ranchers for grazing, obviously, but also for our loggers, miners, recreationalists. And so elevating a non-use to equal footing was something we were very concerned about. We pushed back really hard on that rule, commenting. I mean, there was a lawsuit, which some of my members were a part of. And they still finalized it without any positive changes. So we're very pleased to see this administration move forward with rescinding that rule. And we actually submitted comments just 2 weeks ago supporting the rescission of that rule. You know, they're already working on it, revamping the grazing rules, which haven't been done for 30 years. Those are going to address most of the things that purported to it, that other rule that was very flawed, purported to, you know, work on. So we are in a really good position, I think, to be able to get rid of that rule and move forward with things that work better for folks who use federal lands.
Well, great to see both of you. I'm here till 10 a.m. if you want to come back and hop on the microphone again later this morning. Quick break, back after this.
Put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you're driving and when you're calling from point A to B. I need you to stay safe. Please don't always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safe. Please don't always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Are you about to mow the lawn? It's blazing hot out here. Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry. It's all on SmokeyBear.com, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.